The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota. From the services of Sunday, July 8th, 2018. Thank you to Jim Dieslin for your sponsorship.
Welcome to Holy Trinity. Welcome to our guests and those who are joining us on KCHIC Radio and local TV. My name is Pat Remford, and I am the assisting minister today. Our theme is hearing about the National Youth Gathering. Please stand if you are able for the opening hymn. Please join me in prayer of the day. Merciful and grace-giving God, throughout our life on earth and still today, we hear and see how your love and grace for people changes their lives. Your power heals, your words free, your care connects, your salvation sails. Help us to hear your love and grace. Isn't just for the people along with it, but for each of us now.
It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The first reading is from Ephesians, the second chapter. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is in the gift of God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Brett. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel is from Mark, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And so Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. And while he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement, and he strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the reading.
Does anybody get the Star Tribune? Anyone see the cover article today? As churches close, a way of life fades. All right, folks, I'm going to kind of lay it out there today. I know in our home and at church, Pastor Alicia is in charge of numbers, money and whatnot. But I also like to know about numbers. As a young ELCA pastor, I'm aware of the statistics that are posed in this article, front page today, of our denomination. Because in 1988, there were 5.3 million ELCA Lutherans. Okay? 2016, the latest data we have, take that 5 and the 3 and switch them. So 5.3 to 3.5. Okay? The median age of the U.S. population is approximately 39. But the median age of the ELCA is 58, right? And there are now more retired and living ELCA pastors than currently serving ELCA pastors of congregations. And last year, an article kind of like this one from today was in the Washington Post. And it referenced as mainline Protestant churches decline, it said this. In 1972, 28% of the population was a member or connected with a mainline Protestant church, 1972, and in 2016, 10%. So 28% to 10% from 1972 to 2016. It said at this rate, the author Ed Stetzer remarked that the mainline Protestant church had 23 Easters left. So now it's 21. This means the last Easter of the mainline Protestant church is 2039, about 15 years before I reach retirement age. So I'm aware of these stats, right? And why do I say that? Why do I say these things? Well, today I want to do two things in this sermon. I want to tell you about our scripture passage, And I want to tell you about this opportunity that we had to go to the National Youth Gathering in Houston, Texas last week. So first, our Bible passage. In today's scripture passage, we hear about a man named Jairus who didn't have a lot of hope. In fact, he saw that the end was near. You see, Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter that he loved with all his heart, and it says that Jairus' daughter was at the point of death. Jairus knew the odds were not good. Jairus could hear the family and friends weeping and wailing loudly back at his home. But Jairus decided that even when things didn't look good, through his eyes, he heard about a man who could see things differently. And so he went to Jesus, and he fell at his feet. And what we see in the story and what we see throughout the Gospels is that even when things looked beyond hope, even when they looked too bleak, even when they seemed at the point of death, Jesus has a way of saying, "I'm not done with you yet." And so he went to this little girl and said, "Talitha kum." Say that with me. "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And she did. Well, friends, after spending this week in Houston with this crew and about 31,000 others, I don't think there's any chance that the ELCA will be done in 2039. Each night of this National Youth Gathering, people waited hours to break down the doors of the Houston Texans Stadium to gather for worship and to hear a message of grace, of hope, and of love. And we heard from poets and bishops, professors and students, deacons and pastors. We heard from a former Hindu turned ELCA pastor and a blind Christian musician. We heard about students battling with anorexia, bullying, and terminal illnesses. We heard from an Alabama attorney about how this faith that we share has called him to compassion and reconciliation, and particularly to work with the injustices facing young children who get tried as adults and caught up in the prison system. We heard from an army chaplain about how this hope that we share has been proclaimed for soldiers in active duty and also readjusting to life after serving in the military. We heard from a Texas pastor about how this faith that we share was a source of strength for him as he battled through self-harm and depression. And we heard from a pastor covered in tattoos who struggled with an autoimmune disorder that led her down a road marked with battling addiction. She proclaimed that her hope that we share has come from God's grace meeting her honest truth about her real self, not her ideal self. And she proclaimed that it is the jagged edges of our humanity that connect us to God and to each other. We gathered with our fellow brothers and sisters from different states, different churches, with a variety of skin colors, native languages, sexual orientations, physical, mental, emotional challenges, and stages in the journey of faith. No matter who we are, the focus on the gathering was that this remarkable gift of God's grace, it changes everything. And because of this grace, we heard that we are all magnificently imperfect and called to be co-workers in the kingdom together. I have to say, to me, this was a Talitha Kum event. This event was Jesus speaking to our denomination saying, "Get up. I'm not done with you yet." Because it seems to me when I read the Bible that over and over again, it's at the point of death times when Jesus is just beginning something new. So folks, as I read this morning, I grieve, yes, but I'm also excited because the Bible seems to show over and over again that it's at these point of death times that God does something new. I believe it. I believe that we got a glimpse of it at the youth gathering last week. I believe that it's happening with our denomination. I believe it's happening within this church. And I'm fired up. I'm coming off of this gathering where we worship together, we pray together, we serve together, but most of all, we were given this gift of hope together. And rather than me telling you more about this event, I think it'd be best to have students share a little bit about what they took away from it. And so I'm going to cut my mic and hand it over to them. So let's see. John wants to go first, I think. Super. Yeah. You're voluntold. Here you go.
So I went to this youth gathering not really understanding what church was for, or just going through the motions for the past 4 years belonging to Holy Trinity. So after coming back, I realized, like, I get it. I realize what we're here for and why we go to church. And that's what hit me the last night while we were doing our last devotional at midnight in the middle of Missouri. So thank you.
I'd like to say thank you to all of you for donating to send all of us on the trip. So I'm just going to throw out a bit of highlights. Favorite part of the trip was playing Gaga Ball. And is that on the slideshow?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Gaga. You get to see some Gaga Ball. And I had the special privilege of beating Pastor Ben in Gaga Ball multiple times. And while on this trip, I saw God in many places. One of the places that really struck me the most was just in the community itself, among everybody else. Nobody was hostile. You felt welcome there. Everybody was open. You just felt like you belonged, and it was amazing. How this trip changed me is I realized that this congregation is a part of a community, not just New Prague, but the ELCA churches across the nation. Thank you.
So, on this trip, I will be a freshman next year, and I'm the youngest, but I'm also one of the biggest people on this trip, which made Gaga Ball really fun to play. But during the trip, on the Saturday before we came back, we had like a mini mission trip where we went out to the community, and my group, which included Karen, Jack, John, Vincent, Bethany, and Michaela. And we put up flyers around suburbs that got hit by Hurricane Harvey. And it hit me that we complain about so many things like Wi-Fi and food and stuff, myself included, of course. But these people have basically nothing, barely a roof over their head. Some of those houses had holes all over. One of them looked like it had 10 pounds of dynamite stuck into it and blown up. The theme of the gathering was this changes everything. And when I'm thinking about it, this truly did change my perspective on some things.
This trip to Houston, Texas really did change my faith. I really have never felt this close to God. And I will never forget how amazing this trip was. The memories I will always remember are the mass gatherings every night at the stadium, the many games of Go Fish and 31 in the car, and the great friendships I now have with people in different states and from this church. I already had withdrawals from seeing everybody when I left the parking lot at the church. Even though I will be 19 for the next trip, I really can't wait to go.
Well, my name's Janae, and I'll be a junior this year, so I'll be too old to go on the next trip, but I'm still really excited for it. I really enjoyed the youth gathering because of the music, the inspirational speakers, and becoming the unofficial third chaperone along the way. I like some of the songs at the gathering so much that I decided to share them today with you all and lead the congregation. The speakers talked of leadership and taking action, so with the help of Pastor Ben, we started creating the service on the car ride back and later had a staff meeting with everyone while on the road in Iowa. To help combat the stressful ride down to Houston and trying to keep up with Speedy Karen, I became the permanent co-pilot and navigator of Grandpa Ben's minivan. Because of the experiences I had in Houston, I'm ready and eager to volunteer and help for the next gathering in 2021. Thanks again for your support and making this an amazing trip possible.
Throughout this Houston trip, there have been many memorable things that have happened, many of which I'll remember for a very long time. Some of the highlights of this trip were, for example, the mass gatherings at the end of each day, the service learning day, and the drive there and back. I know 18 hours in the car with the same people seems pretty boring, but for me, many funny and interesting conversations took place there. They ranged from deep conversations about religions and languages that gave me headaches late at night to telling personal stories. In the quiet times of the ride, I had time to think about many things. Some things I thought about were how the trip affected my life, or how amazing Karen and Ben must be to volunteer to be stuck in a car with five people for 18 hours, around 8 hours each day, and then be stuck with tired and crabby kids throughout the trip as well. So we all thought they deserved a little something for their troubles. Thank you for taking us on this trip of a lifetime. We cannot wait for the next one.
I want to thank you all for your support. You can hear from the kids that they really were impacted. This is my second time going to a youth gathering in as many years, or 3 years. I will be leading volunteers. The next youth gathering is going to be in Minneapolis, and right up the road. And so I will be leading volunteers that want to volunteer. If as a volunteer, you experience just as much as the kids do. You just don't have to chaperone. So anyways, we do have two more things. Kenzie went along on the trip and had to work this morning. So we actually have her video, and then there's a slideshow that does a highlight reel. So thank you again for your support. I hope you enjoy the videos.
Hi, my name is Kenzie Vlasak. I'm 17. I will be a senior in high school, and unfortunately, I cannot make it into service today, but I would still like to share with all of you where I found my faith. June 21st, I didn't believe in faith. June 22nd, I didn't believe in faith. June 23rd, I still didn't believe in faith. It wasn't until June 27th, 2018, that the foundations I had so painstakingly built for myself were shaken. Before this, I felt I had no place in faith. I felt I was the one God didn't love because I didn't love him first. I'd never been so wrong. We celebrated my 17th birthday a day before, on June 26th. We celebrated in Sugarland, Texas, at Pastor Ben's friend Pastor Will's church. I was surrounded by the best people I have ever met. I had my cake, we celebrated, and we were called into their sanctuary. We were given some news that Pastor Will would be giving a speech in front of 31,000 other Lutherans, and that we were going to be the first ones to hear his speech. He walks up and he starts giving his speech. He gets maybe four words in before I start tearing up. He started talking about struggle, and then he also talks about recovery. And I made it to the end of the speech, but as he finished his last words, I lost all of the composure I had fought so hard to hold. The armor protecting me from my faith had cracked, and I ran out. I ran into a dark prayer room, and I sat alone until Pastor Will asked if he could join me. When he joined me, we sat in silence. He didn't expect me to say anything, but he was there to listen. And when I did share, he sat and listened. When I finished sharing, he repeated the same message he used throughout his speech. There's grace for that. As he was listing the reasons as to why I was a beautiful child of God, I started to cry harder. All of the problems I had tried so hard to invalidate were suddenly validated through the love of God. There's grace for that hit me hard. I never thought I deserved grace because of all the times that I denied my faith. I thought that if I hid all of my issues from God, that I'd be fine. I was afraid that I'd be condemned to hell. But you can't hide anything from God. God knows everything. Yet, I am not condemned to hell, because I am saved through the grace I never thought I deserved. The gathering kicked off on June 27th, and I made a promise to myself to fully open my heart to God. Once I did, God made himself known to me in many ways. Looking out over the 31,000 other Lutherans worshiping just like me, I realized that faith was everywhere. Faith wasn't as scary as I thought it was, and faith was real. I give credit where credit is due, so I'm giving credit to everyone here, all of my Houston friends, and the 31,000 other Lutherans for helping me recognize and grow in my faith. Thank you for listening.
So as the students all said, thank you, because we know that it took the congregation support to actually make this happen. But it was, I mean, a remarkable investment for each of us to be able to go and to have this great experience, but also to share a little of it with you. So, as many of you know, Karen is on staff here, but her leading this trip, organizing the trip, going on the trip was all volunteer time. All volunteer time. So we learned that she loves chocolate. So we got her a little chocolate bouquet here as a thank you. Let's thank Karen for organizing this whole thing.
Please stand if you are able.
Now we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ goes with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you, watching over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.